everyone. This is the famous San Diego Chicken, and tune in for my episode with Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
All right, hello everybody. Welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Mike, I think we're headed to 280 here, if my calculations are correct. Things get a little messy, they get a little confusing, but I believe we're on episode 280.
Scott, I'm going to have to send that to the scientists to figure out if that is in fact the number. I know we were on 279 last week, but we'll have to see if that indeed math works out.
We could just mess with people and just put like episode 500 and go back to like episode 2 and just see if anybody even notices.
Well, we did celebrate our 50th by having one of our former guests tell us happy 500th episode, which really showed how much he listened to us.
Yeah, he did say happy 500th, so... maybe we'll get there one day. We're more than halfway towards 500. Maybe he was just giving us well wishes, like, you're going to get to 500 episodes. Like, he was preemptive, just being nice. Like
he envisioned it. He knew it was like the dead zone where he touched your shirt, and it's like, you'll make it to 500 episodes.
Correct. Yeah.
Then you'll get hit by a car.
So, welcome everybody to the show. If this is your first time tuning in, we are a weekly podcast. That's Mike, I'm Scott. And weekly podcast, we generally release every single Monday. And our whole focus is to bring on interesting people from all walks of life. And then also just kind of talk about life and what's going on and little anecdotes and quips from our day-to-day, our life, Mike. Plus,
yes. Scott, I just want to tell you, I'm so glad we decided to quarantine ourselves from each other well in advance of this coronavirus. We were so ahead of the curve.
Yep.
Nobody listened to us. I told you all to listen to episode 36. We're all going to die, but no, you didn't. No. And now look where we are.
Well, my plan certainly worked, where I kept telling you that you're infecting me and that I think you should move further and further. So I've gotten you to Georgia. South America's next, so I'm doing well.
Yeah, it was weird. I'm like, hey, Scott, I'm going to Central Jersey. You're like, no, not good enough.
Yep.
I'm like, Scott, that's where I got a job. I just bought a house. No, Furlough, we can't do it, man. The virus.
I started sending your resume to places all over the country, doing interviews on your behalf.
Scott, apparently they need a phone guy in Antarctica. I don't know why. There's only two phones up there. I figured they would have handled it by now.
Why am I getting emails that say Snake Milker Apprentice?
Which was the greatest show that Donald Trump ever put out there, I must say.
What is your thoughts on this whole coronavirus scare, if you will?
I think it's like every other one of the viruses where... A, we got a bunch of people who are panicking beyond words, and we have a bunch of people who are stupidly saying, it's nothing, don't worry about it, don't do anything. And, you know, just having discussions with, like, my family and all, I think, as what we've seen in the evidence, it's if you're older or have conditions and you get it, this could be serious and it could lead to death.
Yeah, like every disease.
if you're pretty healthy and you get it, it's like, okay, we'll keep an eye on it, but likely it's not going to turn for the worse. But I don't get the people who say it's nothing when basically the entire stock market has been crashing beyond belief right now, and countries are shutting down borders. I don't think it's just something CNN made up, but again, also at the same time, you look at the numbers of deaths, and I mean, you can logically say, okay, you look at the percentages, we're not in an area of a, oh my God.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, don't be smart, wash your hands, cover your mouth. If you're feeling sick, stay at home, just be extra careful, and we'll get through this eventually.
Yeah, I'm not concerned at all.
not even a little bit.
No, not at all. I think it's just basically the seasonal flu, basically like pneumonia, essentially traveling through different areas. I guess it's pretty bad in China, but again, you look at all these flu numbers and numbers of diseases that people get all the time, and it doesn't seem to be any worse. and it's not even reaching numbers of like the flu and whatnot. If I was a conspiracy theory guy, I would say that I think maybe the left, if you will, might be hammering this a little bit to try to almost put it in on blame Trump to see if they could take down his most precious thing, which was the economy. So I mean, that might be thinking a little bit too conspiracy ish. Like, I know it's real, but I feel like they're jumping at the opportunity to make this the biggest thing ever, and take away that debate point in November where the economy crashed. What did you do to rebuild it? Blah, 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 blah. I don't know.
Yep. I mean, I see points to that. I mean, I think my main, just looking at internationally, I don't want to say it's conspiracy theory or anything like that, because, I mean, like I said, I mean, like Israel just basically said, if you come into our country, you're quarantining yourself for 14 days, and if you can't quarantine yourself for 14 days, you're not coming in. I don't care if you're a member, an Israeli citizen, or you're visiting.
Yeah.
You're basically got to sit in a detention for 2 weeks if you want to play in Bethlehem.
That was a great Bob Dylan album.
Yeah. Man above his times, you know?
As far as my conspiracy theory, I don't really believe in many, but I just see, like, They've tried to get Trump on everything possible, so I wouldn't put it past any of this. They tried. He's a rapist. He banged a porn star. He hates Mexicans. The Russian collusion.
Yep.
The impeachment. They can't get him on anything. So would I put it past any of them to be like, oh, this is a disease. Your economy stinks. It's your fault. Blah 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 blah. No, I would not put it past any.
Well. I would say this, if this is a genius way of the Democrats to do this, probably not the smartest thing was to throw out a 78 and a 77-year-old out there on the campaign trail with all the stuff going out there. And I mean, I got my fingers crossed, my gal Tulsi, she got one delegate from American Samoa, and she's the only one there. I think by rule, she runs.
Didn't she officially drop out? I thought she was.
No, it is Sanders, it's Biden, and she's still technically in there.
Wow.
They're still doing the stuff where it's like the next debate, she was legally qualified because she got a delegate as the initial rule, and then magically it changed to, well, you need a certain percentage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like all those, like, you've seen the memes, like, oh, the Democratic Party is so, random, and we support, you know, everybody, and then it's like, well, we put two geriatric white dudes again, you know, into the prime. I don't know. I can't even get involved in it. All I know is if Biden continues to lose it, like, the way he seems to be losing it, and then Trump, who will say anything, those debates are going to be fantastic. Oh my
Lord. Yeah, just cancel your schedule, turn on the TV, don't DVR it, because when you're driving somewhere, you're going to get text messages. You're like, no, don't spoil it.
It's just going to be old Biden saying, like, old man sayings, like, that's malarkey, Donald, and Donald Trump just saying anything he wants to say. It's just going to be mayhem. It is absolutely amazing that Biden, they figured out how to slingshot him into first place, and it's just amazing what a 3-day turnaround that was. It's pretty remarkable.
Oh, And add to it, everyone that dropped out basically just immediately pointed to him. And all, I mean,
it was a planned thing for sure.
Poor Bernie is like,
yeah,
that guy would be 96 years old. I finally got it.
I mean, I think their logic, which like I said on this show many times, I think Trump wins hands down again, unfortunately. But I think I think their thought process is like, okay, Biden can grab some of those middle votes, whereas Bernie might be a little too far left. So some of the votes that they would compete over, maybe Biden can scoop them up. I don't know. But like again, I think the Trump supporters come out in full force for 2020.
There's not a ruckus crowd for Joe Biden?
He would use the word ruckus and the malarkey. The no malarkey bus should have been the end of his campaign right there. That bus should have just went right off a cliff.
You're the kind of guy who would touch a gal at a sock hop.
yeah.
At least take her to a soda jerk and give her a 5-cent sarsaparilla.
Yeah, it's going to be mayhem. It's going to be, can you really be that happy about whatever the result is? No, and I think that's just kind of politics because these guys are slimy politicians, that's what they do. They figure out ways to collude together and push each other. I think that's not the last we're going to see of Mayor Pete. I think he did exactly what he was planning, was to get pretty far, get his name out there, get himself on the ballot for the next couple. He's so young. He's got another 30 years of trying.
Oh, yeah.
If he's Biden, he's got another 40 years of trying. So
absolutely. It's like, somebody told me, oh, I think he'll go in the Senate. I'm like, I don't know. If he goes in the Senate, he'll be locked in there, kind of, and then he might get lost in the hustle and add to it. Then they can start – now they got Arsenal to go, oh, yeah, but Mayor Pete on disposition 46239, you voted nay. What do you say about that?
Right, yeah. I think he's positioned himself for things in the future. I think Warren's time is probably over. Klobuchar, I have no idea. She's kind of seemed to be in the middle to me. Like, some people liked her, some didn't. And that's it. And this is Bernie's, to me, I would think this is his last hurrah. But I don't know.
Can you imagine, Ivanka Trump versus Bernie Sanders in 2024?
Yeah.
That's when you just, walk up to the Democrats and go, what the?
What are you doing?
Stop it. No. You're not allowed to touch this anymore. We're taking over. We'll figure it out. I don't know what we're going to do. It's going to be some nationality that somebody's going to say something racist about, and we're going to say, how dare you? And we're going to push them in.
sounds about right. So I don't know. The coronavirus, long-winded answer. Coronavirus not really scaring me. My parents are actually out on a 10-day cruise right now, which is...
Oh, wow. They went for it.
Yeah, they doubled down. And we'll see if they come back or they're going to be on a one-month cruise if they get quarantined and whatnot. But
the funny thing is, when we were talking about it, Izzy's like, oh, wouldn't that have been great if we were stuck on the Disney boat? I'm like, honey, you do realize they literally only have enough food for that time period we're at sea, right? You do realize they don't have 3 months of food just waiting there for us.
If you got stuck on the Disney cruise for a month, I would not stop laughing. Yeah. For that said month, plus possibly a month after, you would definitely, the Disney thing would burst and an aneurysm would explode in your head.
So Scott, I lost it around week two, and I snapped Peter Pan's neck, and we're in litigation right now, but I think I'm good.
I don't care where you are. You could be in your favorite, going to your favorite place ever. You're there. You're stuck there when you don't want to be. It becomes absolute misery. But I guess this is a natural natural segue to our guest.
Oh, of course.
I mean.
Why wouldn't it be?
What says professional mascots more than the coronavirus and politics. I don't know what does, but
charge.
We continue, if I don't say so myself, because I guess there's no one else to really say it. But we continue 2020 as a very, very strong start to the year, if you know, as far as guests from the first episode of the new year all the way to now. We run on a lot of interesting people, and I think today is no different. Who we got?
I would have to agree. I think 2020 has been debatably our best year with 20 months ago, so we're probably going to lay an egg for, no pun intended, for our guests.
I see
tonight.
What you did there.
Yeah. Well, tonight, Scott, we are speaking with a Hall of Fame performer.
Correct.
He has been performing his act since 1974, making over 5,100 appearances in all 50 states and 8 countries. He is a legend in sports, and we are talking with Ted Gianulis.
Ah.
But most people will know him as the San Diego Chicken.
That's correct. He wasn't a baseball player. He wasn't an athlete per se, but you might remember, like, I remember him personally from, like, having those, remember those, like, videos when we were kids, like, blooper videos of, like, MLB, and, like, I don't know, like, they're always, like, we had, like, the top 100 bloopers, and, like, the Chicken was always messing with umpires and things like that, and I remember seeing him on the screen, and a very iconic mascot.
I would say, like, early to mid-80s, there were literally hundreds of the, like, greatest sports bloopers of all time videos.
Yep.
Like, I mean, it was endless.
Yeah, what happened to the blooper?
Be showing up.
What happened to the sports blooper market is seriously struggling right now. That was a big thing for a couple years.
Yeah, I feel we should start a VHS company and bring it back. I mean, don't go for this, like MP3 stuff or whatever. I feel the people will love the classics when they get that big hunk of plastic that will get destroyed by the lightest hint of sun.
This sounds like another great Berlew investment. A new VHS blooper store.
Absolutely. I feel there's enough shut down Toys R Us's where I can buy the properties, and I feel it's just going to explode. There's no reason to put any extra thought into it. I'm just going to the Shark Tank tomorrow and get my millions.
All right. So, it should be pretty cool to talk to you. You know, at one point in my life, I wanted to be a mascot. That was, like, my goal in life, was that I thought about being a mascot around, like, high school. I was like, that would be a really cool job. And then I'll have to tell the story after Ted gets off. The story about, I know you heard it, but I think our audience would like to hear it, about me when I finally got to try to be a mascot, a Mickey costume, and kind of how that played out. But let's get Ted on the line before I embarrass myself yet again here on the show. So, Ted, a.k.a. the San Diego Chicken, on the line.
So, Ted, I got to say right off the bat, I mean, we appreciate you taking some time to talk with us. I guess before we even get to the Chicken, we got to kind of ask, what was Ted the Kid like? I'm doubting he didn't instantly think he was going to dress up like an animal and become super famous and rich.
Oh, no. Growing up in London, Ontario, Canada, I was easygoing kid. I always liked to have fun. I never was the class clown, but I always sat beside him. And I would write school plays and do speeches in school and that sort of thing. So I was a little more extroverted as a child, and it just lent itself, I guess, to what I'm doing today. But I was always fascinated with the entertainment arts growing up.
Now, were you into sports? Were you into baseball? Like, did this? I'm sure there had to be some origin to how you ended up into the athletic field, if you will.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I followed sports quite a bit, especially hockey growing up in Canada, but followed baseball quite a bit, all the sports as they came into seasons. And like I say, I would always enjoy the comedians on TV. And so what manifested itself over time, you know, as I fell into what I'm doing today, I just took my fascination of comedy and merged it with my love of sports and produced a unique act, you know, for the grandstands and out on the field for the fans and such. So it's unique how some characteristics can always come together.
So you were in at the San Diego University, and for what I understand, basically you got the job because, quote unquote, you were sure enough to fit the chicken outfit.
Yeah, San Diego State. It was a very casual hiring, believe it or not. It was the day before Easter break on the campus, and I was lounging around the student-run radio station that we had, which was a small outfit, and a gentleman walks in from a rock and roll radio station, and he's an alumni of that same kind of campus radio station organization, KCR, as it was known back then, and still is today. And he enters the premises. There's only about five of us lounging around, and he asks us on the spot, anybody want to come and work for a real radio station over the Easter break, as it was known back then? The whole idea was to work a part-time job for $2 an hour. We all volunteered on the spot, and he cautioned everybody, this isn't on-the-air work or anything of the sort, and you'd have to dress up in a chicken suit and give away candy Easter eggs at the zoo. And so we still volunteered.
Yeah.
We all volunteered because anything to get our foot in the door at the radio station, a real radio station. In fact, if he said you had to shine records or empty trash cans or sweep the floors, we still would have been eager to do that. So if I'm wearing a chicken suit, so be it. Well, the rep, he's taken aback with all these five eager faces. And he looks around the room and he points to me in the corner and he says, you, the shirt guy, you'll fit the costume best of all. And he hired me on the spot, just like that. No job audition, no interview, not even a job application to fill out. You know, so I did my little stint and down at the zoo. I worked my tail off, so to speak, as best as I could do it, thinking hopefully that if I impressed with doing this kind of menial job, they'll give me a really even better job at the station and, you know, to network out and get my foot in the door and start on my way in media. And so I just, you know, continued what I was doing, especially after the Padres were opening up their home season. And I went down on opening day thinking it might be a good idea to get into the game for free that way. They let me in, and that's how things just kind of took off.
So you first put on this chicken suit. Is it a moment of like you don't know what to do, or is it this like this transformic moment where you put it on and you're like, oh my god, all of a sudden I could just be someone completely else with him. What's the first time you adorn this thing? What is it like? Are you shy or are you completely open the first time?
Oh, I was open to it. I shrugged my shoulders. I said, okay, this is the detail. I'm going to do it. I'll do it as best as I can. And the kick that got me going, though, is hearing myself getting plugged on the radio of a rock and roll radio station, because the DJs would say, you know, if the zoo's your bag this weekend, go down there and check out our KGB chicken, as the radio station, KGB.
Right.
And he's got candy Easter eggs to lay on you, you know? And so I got a kick saying, hey, man, that's talking about me, you know? So I better step up my game and make sure that I'm doing the right thing, you know? I was, in a way, like a quasi-ambassador for the radio station.
And when you're going to the games, are there a certain amount of time you go into entertaining? Are you going all nine, or is there a set plan that you had talking with Sandy, the Padres at the time?
Well, when I first started out, I just went in for a few innings, you know, and I just cavorted around in the grandstands, and it was highly unusual. You got to understand that this was really off the wall. A guy shows up at a game in a chicken suit. You know, there were back in those days, nobody wore face paint to the games. There weren't outrageous cheers, or anything of that nature. And suddenly, at a professional game, here's a guy goofing off in the grandstands in a chicken suit, and was getting a lot of attention for the radio station. And then when the media started commenting on it, the newspapers and TV stations would focus in, say, "Look at this guy." The station executives went nuts, and we had discovered that we had fallen into some kind of guerrilla marketing, because I was like a walk-around billboard for the radio station, and that their ratings started going up as a result. Yeah, but that, to answer your question overall, yeah, I would go in after our first couple of innings, let the game warm up, and then I would make my presence felt and started goofing around, and fans had a lot of fun with it.
So you start, this career starts taking off. You're in multiple sports pretty early on. You're getting this recognition. As you're doing this, are you like, how are you learning how far you can go with this chicken? Whether it's messing with umpires, whether it's messing with fans, like, how are you pushing your boundaries? Are you just trying anything? Are you getting any coaching from, the higher ups, if you will, or are they pretty much just letting you do what you got to do?
Well, believe it or not, as I was starting out, I never went on the field at all. Right. I mean, that was totally off limits. I started going on the field when, believe it or not, the San Diego Padres front office was really tickled with what I was doing, because they were getting great feedback from their fans and how much they were enjoying the game, even though the Padres were a last place team. But they said, that goofy chicken is pretty funny. We like him, you know? And so it was the Padres who actually suggested I go on the field and start goofing off there, you know? And I asked them, what do you want me to do? And they said, that's your domain. You figure it out. But we think if fans would get a kick if you went out there where the whole stadium could see you, as opposed to portions of the stadium, section by section. And so I started going out there and improvising with umpires, players, coaches, and of course still goofing off with the fans in the stands. And it embellished what I was doing and enhanced it. And it was the Padres really who encouraged me. And then as other teams played and I went to their games, they started doing the same thing. They said, hey, go on the basketball court or go on the sidelines of the football game and start goofing off. And I just improvised and things just took off, and it was the fans who carried it because of their laughter. They laughed and loved it.
Oh, that's awesome. So after a few years, you kind of had a dispute with the radio station on the rights of the chicken. I wonder if you can get a little into it, because I find it fascinating, as me coming from Philadelphia, and I was a big Philly fanatic guy growing up, and now they're going through the thing right now where there's questions about the copyright. So can you tell us a little bit about what that fight was about and how the redesign occurred?
Oh, yes. And by the way, the Phillies, actually, when they were starting the Fanatic, they actually called me for advice and asked me to consult with them. And I consulted with them extensively. So I can be safe to say I'm like the father of the Fanatic. The hours and hours I spent with the Phillies front office in going over what could be done. But they relied quite heavily on my guidance, I must say. And they've had a successful character ever since. But with the radio station where I was in San Diego, the chicken had become a folk hero in town. And the manufacturer of the costume approached the station and said, out of good faith, he was turning down a lot of business not to make more chicken suits across the country. And he suggested it might be a good idea for the radio station to go ahead and buy the copyrights from him. It was a stiff price, they thought. And the station declined. They felt the costume really wasn't anything. It was the talent inside of it that made it. And on top of that, they felt that somehow they had the rights to the costume. The manufacturer disputed that and then threatened to make the suits nationwide for anybody who would ask. And actually, the radio station really didn't care about that too much, because in radio, your home turf matters. And because our signal didn't go outside San Diego, it really didn't care what was going to go on in North Dakota or in Florida or in Texas, you know, if somebody had a chicken down there. And I was a little concerned, and I urged the station to purchase the rights. And they said, no, we're not going to do it for that price. And and so as a result, I just decided I can't see this costume being across the country like so many Santa Clauses at department stores.
Right.
And so I told the manufacturer I'll buy it myself. I paid the manufacturer for the copyright and took it off the market just to ensure that it wouldn't go across the country.
Nice.
To keep the specialty, you know. Well, the station got pretty upset with me about it, and then they filed a lawsuit to prevent me from branching out on my own. And it was heard all the way up to the California Supreme Court, where they ruled in my favor and declared that I was a free agent chicken as a result. And I own the rights. I own the rights. The station had perfect chance to purchase them. They declined on more than one occasion. And so I said, well, great, I'll just take them. And I wasn't planning on leaving the station. I wanted to stay there. I just thought of it as chicken insurance. You know, but anyway, but instead they fired me, and then as a result, I broke out on my own and have been performing on my own ever since.
Yeah, it really is amazing. Like, I see all the stuff you did in how many years. I think of baseball, I think of California, and immediately I want to ask you, you know, you think about the heat and the heat waves and things like that. What is it like being the chicken when, you know, you get a extremely hot day, or what kinds of things do you have to do in order to not pass out as the chicken and be carried off the field? Like, I can't imagine it's easy to keep cool in that thing.
Well, believe it or not, yeah, you're right. I don't keep cool. There's no cooling pads in there. I don't carry ice bags around with me. I tough it out. But I had a head start to begin with, because I played a goalie in hockey.
Okay.
And so I wore quite a bit of hockey gear, about 40 pounds worth. And you build up quite a sweat there. And so I had a tolerance to it. And so putting on a chicken suit was second nature. Yes, it was very sweaty and very hot, but I could deal with it. It was very, very easy for me to deal with it. And I just toughed it out. And really, for me, I just focused on the ability to make audiences laugh, and that carried me more. And how I would recoup my energy, just drink a lot of water, just a lot of water, just stay hydrated. But the energy to perform really carried the day for me, guys,
and that's
what made it for me.
Now, like I said, I used to be up in Pensacola, New Jersey, but I moved down to Georgia about 2 years ago. I heard a fascinating story. Apparently, you were almost traded to the Braves for a backup catcher. That's true.
That's right. That's right. Ted Turner himself approached the Padres. In fact, the president of the team at the time, the Padres, told me this, that during one of the meetings, Ted Turner approached them and wanted to trade a backup catcher to the Padres, and in return, he says, I don't want a player. I want the guy in the chicken suit, you know?
Now, let's be honest. That sounds like a move the Mets would make.
That's...
So the Padres had explained to him, believe it or not, the kid is not our employee. He's just a radio station guy who goes around town, and he does all of our games, it was explained. So what Ted Turner did then, he did an end around. He invited me to Atlanta to come and perform for the Braves as a special guest for a single night. But while I was there, that's where he buttonholed me and said he wanted to hire me and offered me $100,000 to leave San Diego and come and work with him. And he said, I've got a lot of plans for TV and sports that I can't get into, but he says you'll be a great fit here. You'll have your own show. You'll have merchandise, travel, endorsements. He says, come with me and you'll be big. And so I had to think about it, and I eventually declined after a few days because the outpouring of emotion here in San Diego when the story got out that I might be leaving, they went nuts. And so I just decided to stay. There was an enormous public pressure for me to stay in San Diego, and so I had to stay. I just couldn't leave. It wasn't in me.
Yeah.
I don't think a month in my life ever passes when I don't reflect on the magnanimous offer that Ted Turner put a trust in me for, that what could have been had I taken it.
It's really, really amazing. So when you're one of the iconic mascots of all time, you know, we just talked about the Philly Fanatic and Mr. Med and whoever else comes to mind when you think of Matt. Give us a little peek behind the curtain as far as, you know, we all see the mascots at All-Star games and sometimes commercials and things like, is there like a brotherhood or like a camaraderie among mascots, or is it like is it more competitive to, for lack of a better term, out mascot the other mascots?
Oh, I don't look at it that way, but I'm sure there's a brotherhood out there. In fact, among leagues and such, you know, it's very interesting. When I started off in the time I call BC before Chicken, there were no professional mascots to speak of any kind. High schools had them, you know, on occasion, and some colleges had them, but nothing on the pro level. And so what I started, it just encouraged other teams look at even the Olympics and the World Cups now have official mascots, and they didn't have that before before Chicken. So I guess it's inspired quite a field out there. I got to tell you, there are other costumes even beyond sports for how this has grown. You know, here in San Diego, you go down to Comic-Con and you see all kinds of costumes. And they're wild and extremely meticulous and outrageous, crazy stuff, wild. And so, it's amazing, though, you know, what I started, I guess, over 45 years ago spawned this entire cottage industry.
It's amazing.
Great. Do you still, how often do you perform as a Chicken? Can you go the same amount as you used to, or have you backed it down your schedule?
Oh, I've backed it down quite a bit. I used to be on the road 250 days out of a year. You know, all 50 states I would travel to. I would go to 8 different countries. Could have done even more countries if I accepted the invitations. But nowadays I'm in semi-retirement after all these years and taking it easy and just making occasional appearances every now and then. Nothing like I used to. I mean, it wasn't uncommon that I would do 30 cities in 30 days in a month. And I used to take out full page ads in USA Today just to advertise all my tours across the country. And people would see the list of cities and they say, it's got to be more than one guy. One guy cannot be doing you know, 116 cities in 120 days. That's ridiculous. No, but it was true. It was me, you know. And then after baseball season, I moved into football, basketball, hockey, you know. Plus, on top of that, there were trade shows and conventions and all kinds of things, you know, that I would attend. So I was like a pretty ubiquitous. But nowadays, yeah, I've really pulled in my horns, and it's only a fraction of what I used to do.
I'm sure in your wildest dreams you never thought this chicken thing would be, you know, 45 years later, 50 years later, you're talking to two guys who grew up, you know, seeing you and want to talk to you years later. And you look at your, if you, you know, look at your Wikipedia or just Google, the things you've done range from WrestleMania to recording a Rod Stewart song to being in McDonald's commercials to being, it goes on and on and on. Things with Dale Earnhardt. It's amazing. Is there like one, I mean, I'm sure there's many, but is there one thing that stands out to you as like, something you could never have imagined in a million years that you did with this chicken persona that you still to this day just can't believe?
Oh, there's so many. I have to pinch myself. Quite honestly, the doors that this has opened up, I mean, I've had presidents of the United States ask me to introduce them, you know, at rallies. That's mind-boggling. Oh, absolutely. But I've got to say that probably the most defining moment I've ever had to have been my grand hatching. And this came in 1979, in June of 79, after the radio station had fired me, you know, and I was breaking out on my own. And so to debut my new chicken suit at the time, because I didn't have access to my old one at the time because I had a court injunction that eventually came, I won and finally got. But to still go on with my career, I hatched out of a gigantic styrofoam egg at Jack Murphy Stadium. And the place was sold out for this event. And it was a before a Padre game, you know, and the Padres back then, you got to know, did not sell out games. But they sold this one out and for the grand hatching, and it made national news and all kinds of stuff. And it was to get a 10-minute standing ovation from the audience. It was incredible. They even moved back the start of the game a half an hour to accommodate this. With grand hatching. So, but it was a new suit that I had concocted, the one I'm still wearing to this day. And it was a magnificent moment. Even local television stations interrupted local programming to show the grand hatching live, you know, from Jack Murphy Stadium. So it was really, really something, and quite a feat for its day.
That's amazing.
And is it true you were having problems getting out of the egg during the presentation?
I did have a few problems getting out of the egg because, you know, it was carved out and I couldn't rehearse breaking out. You know, it wasn't pre-cut, so I had to do it in one take. And believe me, it was a little difficult, but when it finally gave, it just exploded and it came apart. And I was lucky. Oh man, you know, I was petrified because it wouldn't give as I was kicking it open. It wouldn't give. But after and here they're playing 2001 Space Odyssey. 47,000 people are standing. Cameras, paparazzi on the field like crazy. Everyone's waiting. I'm rolling around. I'm trying to kick out of this egg, and it won't give. You know. And but finally, it just it let go. It exploded, and out I came. And whew,
yeah, not that I wanted that to happen, but what a fitting end to the chicken if you couldn't get out of the egg.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to lay an egg. I wanted to break one, you know, on the fan.
Do you still have the original suit? And if so, where is it?
The original suit? The original suit, you guys, was actually a papier-mâché outfit.
Wow.
That was a rental. Yeah, it was a rental from a local shop. That one was pretty ugly, to say so myself. And that's the one I started. But then after about a year of that, that's when we got with a manufacturer, when the station got with a manufacturer for a new suit that they had in their catalog and made a few refinements to it. And went with that one. And that original suit, believe it or not, I did not have. I did not keep. Didn't even think about it, you know. And
right.
Yeah, because I would go through several suits every year, probably two or three suits a year. And just from the wear and tear and the slapstick of what I was doing. And so believe it or not, you don't know these things. You can't guess that, oh, this could lead to something. This could be something one day. No, you don't think twice. You just say, okay, time to get a new suit. Okay.
Yeah.
And as popular as it was, it really didn't dawn on me because, you know, sometimes you're too close to the forest to see the trees.
Right. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ted, as a kid growing up watching baseball, seeing you, as like me and Scott were talking about, all those blooper videos where you were on them constantly, we can't thank you enough for giving us some time, and it's a pleasure. But before we go, as much as love as I give to you, I have to end on the question of a certain person who hates mascots. Being a rival of the Padres, the Los Angeles Dodgers, I know well, being a Phillies fan, his thoughts on the Philly Fanatic. I do know he got a mascot ejected in Montreal from a game. What's it like dealing with Tommy Lasorda?
Yeah. I'm not on Tommy's Christmas card list. He's a colorful character. Yes, and believe me, he has laid me out. Yes, he did not care for some of my antics, especially making fun of the Dodgers logo. You know, like stepping on the Dodger hat. You know, and you know, during a dance, and oh man. But you know, quite honestly, I actually liked the guy. I thought he was colorful and great for baseball, but he didn't care. I mean, he truly was Mr. Dodger blue blood, and you make fun of the Dodgers, and he just didn't have the patience for that. And the players were great. I got to tell you, his players were fantastic, but even they would laugh under their breath and they'd say, I don't think Tommy liked that one. But the players I could goof with very, very easily, but Tommy let me know how he felt, and he wasn't a fan, and that's okay. What he's done for baseball has been remarkable, and he'll always be known as one of the greatest ambassadors the game ever had.
That's amazing. So, Ted, like, again, we can't thank you enough from giving up some time and talking with us. If anybody wanted to know what you've been up to or where you're going to be performing, what's the best place to keep in touch with you?
Oh, I've got a website, but I'm not doing any traveling to my knowledge. I won't be doing much traveling this summer. I won't be on any summer tour or anything. You know, like I say, I took last summer off as well. But just doing some local appearances, perhaps around town. I've got a website that is in the process of being redesigned. It's sandiegochicken.net. Or famouschicken.com, rather. So sandiegochicken.com or famouschicken.com. That's the access to it. I'm just taking it easy, you guys. I mean, nobody can play forever, and I've enjoyed it over all these decades. But every now and then, I still might get out for a special occasion, so who knows.
Love it. Love it. Ted, thanks so much for your time, man. And we really appreciate it. It's just, I could talk to you for hours and pick your brain. So maybe we'll have you on again down the line.
I enjoyed it, fellas. Thank you very much for having me on. Thank you.
He was awesome.
Absolutely. Scott, I feel we should just, maybe the podcast thing ain't working. Maybe we should just go into sporting events with weird costumes and cross our fingers.
I feel like we missed a boat on that, though. I feel like, you know, weird costumes is like not even weird to see at games anymore. You know, like, it's funny because when he was saying that, I was picturing like old timey baseball where people used to wear like suits to go watch baseball games. You know, like, I think we missed our calling. You know, you got people in green man outfits just, you know, sitting around. I don't think they get any airtime, really.
Okay. So instead of sporting events, let's just go to like different businesses. Just like run into a coffee shop, dress as a rhino, and see what happens.
All right, well, why don't you try it first and report back to the group, and we'll see what happens. And again, if you happen to get arrested, Verbal Shenanigans has got your back.
Ah, thank God. Dude. Those idiots who wanted me to sign for a 401k, I knew better.
Again, you got to record it, and you have to yell Verbal Shenanigans as you come plowing through the store for the viral video content that we need.
Yeah. I figure I'll put on like a Bulls outfit, and then I'll look for some kind of like China store, and I'm like, I got an idea. I've heard about this.
I feel like you running into smashing things would be absolutely no problem for you.
It would probably be cool. The whole getaway thing might be an issue, but yeah. You know, we got to try it a couple times to make sure we get success down the road.
Well, the one and only San Diego Chicken. All right, Mike, the San Diego Chicken.
Hell of a story, man. Yeah. Hell of a career.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, so like I said, this very hard. This year has been. Can't say there's been a dud in the batch, other than talking to you each time.
Yeah. Well, there was that one dud, but they know who they are.
You know who you are.
Yeah. They don't even lie.
Yeah.
You just email us, say you're sorry, and we'll think about forgiving you.
I'll think about it.
Yeah.
So the one I told you I had when I was a kid, I thought being a mascot would be like a career for me. You know, maybe it'll still happen. I don't like the heat though, so I don't know if that's a great idea for me. But
it'd be great if you were like the mascot with no costume whatsoever. You're just some like 30-year-old man just going up to kids. Hey kids, you want to play?
I'm just mascot.
Ooh, wordplay.
Yes. That's what you guys pay for here. So my dad had an electronics business for years in Bayonne, New Jersey, and he at one point had a big kind of like some anniversary, 15, 20 years, something like that, like kind of like a block party there with like old cars and like a clam bar, like burgers and dogs and music, and like where people would come to the business and just kind of, you know, like a promotional event, if you will, like a party. So he had asked me, he said, Scott, would you be Mickey Mouse? Like, you know, dress up in a costume and go say hi to kids. I'm like, I don't know, I guess so. So here's like my moment, you know. And so basically, long story short, it's like, okay, time to get into the Mickey Mouse costume. And, you know, I see it and I have like what little kids, I don't know, just like I freeze and I'm just like, I can't do it. And there I am with the Mickey Mouse pants halfway up, just sitting in the chair with the head on the ground, just crying like, I don't want to do it. And my dad had to come back and be like, you sure? Are you okay? Like, what's the matter? It's okay. You don't have to do it. And there I am, have to be talked into like, it's okay that I wasn't Mickey Mouse.
See, if I get a time machine, I'll bring my wife and she'll be yelling, you know, it's not okay. I told all my friends from the past about this. You get out there and you dance around and go, ah! To all of them. Okay.
What a pansy I was, just crying about, I don't know what it was, I guess putting on the costume, being embarrassed, maybe the pressure of the moment was too much for me. I don't really know what the feeling was, but I do remember sitting there with that Mickey legs on with the, the head on the ground and just tears rolling down my face.
Now, tell us a little bit about the costume. Are we talking about like pretty decent Disney style, or are we talking about Times Square, get away from me, you want $5 kind of looking Mickey Mouse?
I'd say somewhere in the middle of that. Okay. Not the worst. Like, you could definitely tell it was used for, like, kids' birthday parties and stuff.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So, any idea, like, were you getting, like thinking, I don't know how to perform?
Or... Yeah, I think I was getting, like, performance anxiety. Like, ooh, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know what to do. Didn't own the moment, that's for sure.
So, out of curiosity, so we still have this time machine. I bring back comedian Scott Brendan, who's been on the stage hundreds of times to talk to little Scotty Brendan. What's the pep talk you've given to him saying you can do this? You can be a performer.
Nowadays, if you put a Mickey costume in front of me, I wouldn't cry anymore, most likely. I would own it. I would just put on. I would tell little Scott, like, you got to own it, man. Just have fun out there. Just go out there. And it's like what I tell myself, or I tell comics, like, who are nervous sometimes I'm on the same show with them. I just try just go have fun. Just go have fun. Just go be in the moment instead of like rehearsed and this that. Just be in the moment. If something throws you off, no big deal. Just go with it. If something's, you know, I would tell Scott, he's got to, you know, just go have fun with it. I said, what's the worst that could happen? Everybody hates you? And then you just take they don't even see your face. You know, it's not like a comic. Like, they remember me and my terrible set. A poor Mickey bomb, you can just go, just be like, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. You know, just put the outfit back in the case.
First off, the poor Mickey bomb sounds like something I should get at Disney Springs every time my wife drags me down there. I feel that will just, like, rip out my memory, and I won't have to worry about anything that occurs after that.
The poor Mickey bomb sounds like something you should set off when you're forced to go to Disney again. All right, well, screw it.
The security there is like, you think you're the first husband that tried this? We're prepared for this. You're the eighth one today.
Yeah, I would just tell them to suck it up and have some fun. Like, don't worry. That the moment is, no one's ever going to remember this. You know, it's like, just like I could have the best set in the world, never translates to followers or messages or anything like that. I've had a couple great shows in the last week. It's done nothing for me. Other than I got like a good video out of one of them. That's about it. So
now, before you got scared, did you have a routine in your head? Like something like, I'm going to do this little dance, or maybe play around with youngins, or what was the plan if you didn't panic?
Play around with youngins.
I don't know what is that. I mean, what was the goal of the suit out?
Guys, on the podcast today, we have Jared from Subway. Jared, how are you?
Let me tell you something, kid. I saw your game. It was weak.
I thought I would probably be more of like the wacky, goofy, you know, like just kind of doing hand motions, like tapping people on the shoulder, pretending it wasn't me, that kind of guy. Okay. Getting into hijinks, if you will.
All right. Was there any kind of like cartwheels or anything that towards the point?
I don't think I thought that far.
No.
But no. I don't know. It's another moment I look back and go, God, I was such a baby sometimes. But, you know, what are you going to do? I did want to, I know we brought this up before, but we might as well review real quick. I just brought up a couple of the worst mascots of all time.
Okay.
I mean, Gritty will be on there soon, that's for sure.
He's beloved in Philly. Don't even try. And like, they literally, like, some of the NHL mascots hate Gritty because of all the attention he got. Like, when he first came out, and we're all like, ooh, I don't know about this. Like, he just exploded. He literally was the guy who told little Scotty, just own it. He's like, I know what I look like. Let's have some fun. Woo! I'm Gritty.
You guys only like him because he punched a child. That's essentially.
Hey, he was acquitted. Hey, he was acquitted.
Yeah, yeah.
We're fine. We're totally fine with him and all. The Philly Fanatic design, we're still on the fence about. Nobody talks about the Sixers mascot, so don't worry about it.
Well, real quick, we might as well rifle through these real quick. The Los Angeles Clippers at one point had Chuck the Condor. It looks exactly like Toucan Sam with a helmet.
I'm trying to get like the associate. Like, number one, I'm not 100% sure what a clipper is, to be brutally honest.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it a hair clipper? Is it a?
Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough you had to be the little brother to the Lakers for your entire life.
Right.
I don't know. how you can be a team that exists, and somebody's just like, so out of curiosity,
yeah,
what the heck are you exactly?
Yeah, I mean, I sent you a picture of him. He's kind of like, he almost looks like a dinosaur, and he's got terrible skin tone. He's very pink like me. He must be Irish.
Like, he's got like a dollar store quality to him. It's kind of like, you know those toys where it's like, it's not the Power Rangers, it's like the tough ninjas or something like that, but they look exactly like them. That's the vibe I'm getting right here. Just like cheap knockoff, why are you even trying to tell me this is a gift for me?
The GoBots of mascots, if you will.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Mike, if you go to the next one, you'll bring up my favorite.
Okay.
I don't know how this one didn't get number one, so we're just going to kind of keep going through this. But the San Francisco Giants at one point had the crazy crab.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
This one, to me, might be the worst I've ever seen, and it's only at number 10 on this list.
Like, this looks like when you do one of those parody movies, like the parody mascot.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, you name our team, what? That's our mascot? This is ridiculous. Like, totally looks like Double A baseball mascot. No way should he be anywhere near the majors.
1984, if you guys are wondering. Now, he's got like a Andy Reid type mustache going on. But he's kind of gross.
I thought it was like eye boogers the way it's looking. Yeah,
he's kind of gross. Like, look at his barnacle pants. Like, they're horrifically bad. Like, they kind of look like cold sores.
I mean, he's kind of like reverse cross-eyed, if that's a phrase. Like, they're both going in the other direction. It makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what he could really do with those claws, because they did not make it for functionality, this costume.
There's
no way you can like walk around the crowds or grab something.
You could pinch something, like, maybe. Yeah, I'm
like, like, if I was the opposing team, I'm like, every time I foul off a ball, I'm aiming for that SOB. There's no way I can give this guy any respect. And I just feel bad. I'm sure there's like a very talented performer under that mask.
Yeah, yeah.
But you gave him nothing to work with, San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, the crab. So, Berlo, if you'll join me on the next one, you won't get away with not talking about the Philadelphia 76ers mascot.
There he is.
I mean, gritty, horrific. You know, the Fanatic will give it to him. He's been around for a long time. But Frank the Rabbit, Berlo, would you like to defend Frank the Rabbit?
I really would rather not.
I'm Hip Hop the Rabbit. Sorry.
Four.
Sorry.
Or both. I mean, I guess Frank was the official name, and he's also the Hip Hop Rabbit.
No, Frank. Frank is the one from Donnie Darko.
That's right.
So Hip Hop the Rabbit, get it? Hip Hop. He looks, he's jacked. He's got big guns.
Yeah, I mean, totally I could see this was Allen Iverson time, because the Rabbit just kind of has an Allen Iverson face to it. Yeah. I guess it was like the crazy 2000s where it's like, oh, this is rad. And we look back and we're like, what'd you do there? Yeah, there's nothing redeeming about this. It's just a poor, in a city of great mascots, he is the sad side note.
Yeah. Join me in the next one, Berlo.
All right.
Boltman, the San Diego Chargers. He kind of looks like a half moon. He's got like Oakleys on. He's not great. But I am of the feeling that he is so bad that I can get behind him.
I'm not sure you remember. Remember when McDonald's had like Mac Tonight?
The mascot? The big moon kind of, right?
Yeah. Looked exactly like that. Not to spoil a future episode, he looks like he's carved out of cheese. just everything about it. Again, it just looks like high school kind of mascot. I really prayed it was just a fan that dressed up, and they're like, "Oh, you'll be our mascot. We'll call you Bolt Man," like that. Like, there's no way some billionaire owner licensed this.
I kind of like him.
He put money into this.
I kind of like him. He's so bad that he's good. Like, he's so bad, but I could feel like you know, like people can get behind Boltman, like kind of like the joke is how bad Boltman is. Kind of like Gritty, I think. You said Gritty is beloved. Like, I think it's because he's so terrible looking.
I mean, I could see that to a point, but like now I'm looking at him, like maybe they should bring him back now that they're in Los Angeles because he kind of looks like Jack Nicholson's Joker.
What if he was just like, they just brought him back, but he was like excessively fatter and he had like longer hair, but he still had that nice smile. Like,
melted cheese face.
Berlo, next is Pierre the Pelican for the New Orleans Pelicans. He came out this horrendous green and red beak, just colors were not popping. And then they actually had him go through plastic surgery, and then he reappeared. And I got to say, the new one looks pretty cool. Better colors, better eyeballs, better beak. I do like the attempt of – I like it when you could poke fun at a bad design.
Yeah, the one on the right, that looks professional. It's like, okay, I still don't get the whole Pelicans thing in New Orleans, but okay, if that's what you go with, I mean, that's a good design. The if you ever played Five Nights at Freddy's, that's what the mascot looks like on the left. It just looks like a terrifying thing that's going to jump scare you in the middle of the game because you did something wrong.
Nice. The next one, Mike, I don't even hate. I think he's kind of cool. He's kind of like, he's basically like a Muppet. He's for the Expos and the Canadians. I don't hate him. He kind of looks like me. He's kind of like goofy looking, which is what you kind of want a mascot to be. He's got a floppy hat on. I don't hate him. I don't think he deserves to be on this list. And his name is Yuppie.
Yuppie, yes. A callback to our interview just a second ago. He is the first mascot to get kicked out of a game.
Really?
Thanks to Tommy Lasorda. Basically, what happened was Dodgers were in Montreal playing the Expos. Basically, it was like the 13th inning. And I think what happened was like he came out with like the nightcap gear, you know, when the game's going really long. It looked like he was wearing pajamas and he was on top of the Dodgers dugout, just kind of like stomping around, pretending he's falling asleep. And Lasorda went nuts and he complained to the umpire. And then the umpire said, all right. And they literally said, you're out of here. He had to go out of the stadium.
That's great. That's a great to add on your resume, like if you're a mascot. Like, hey, you ever get thrown out? I did. Like, that's
heck
like,
yeah,
like that'd be awesome.
Yeah, he's a decent design. I have no issues with him.
I have no
nor
issues
the next
with
one. No. Nor the next one.
See, I can see why the next one has kind of got a weird look on his face. He's kind of, the Denver Broncos, I don't even say his name on here, but he's got kind of like, he looks a little possessed. His eyeballs look a little deviant, if you ask me.
But I think that works. And for a game like football, I think you don't want like the smiley little mascot and all. I mean, especially when you're facing like the Raiders and you see Raider Nation and all those crazy people. You want a mascot where you're kind of like, all right, I'm gonna put a little fear into you, for lack of a better term. I'm still something I could sell, but still kind of like, he's mad.
Now, Berlo, the next one I think we could agree is pretty horrific, and that is Sir Saint of the New Orleans Saints.
What in the...
Real bad. Real bad. Like a guy in an old-style football helmet with like a gigantic chin, and the article is comparing him to the guy from American Dad. Like, just horrific looking. But he's not happy. He's not happy. He's not like, you're a kid, you don't want to go up to him and like high five him. He looks scary.
No, I don't see any grandeur in this whatsoever. I don't see anybody wanting like a t-shirt with this mascot on it. I don't see anybody wanting to like see him in a parade. It is like the most pointless use of a mascot whatsoever. It's just literally a guy in a suit where you're like, get away from me.
Yeah, yeah. Berlo, moving on, we have Stinger from the Columbus Blue Jackets. He's not great, but I think there was worse on the list that we went through. I think his problem is he just mismatched. He's kind of green, he's red, he's yellow, he's black, he's blue. maybe too much going on there. But I don't find him to be the worst of the list.
Yeah, I guess if he was...
His red eyes are a little off-putting.
Yeah, like I was trying to think of a sports team with green and red in it. Like he would possibly work for that. He's a little terrifying there. I guess he's... The play on it is they're the Blue Jackets and he's a Yellow Jacket.
yeah.
But, I mean, I guess another question, what exactly is a Blue Jacket?
That's true. It's funny you say that because I have no idea and I feel like I have looked this up before and have forgotten since. I think it's something to do... I thought it had something to do with the military in Columbus or something like that. But,
yeah, I mean, are they known... Is that military known for their bees?
I think you throw some white googly eyes on him, he looks a lot better. It's the red, possessed, kind of constipated eyes he has that make him look a little frightening towards children.
Yeah, or maybe, like, change the scowl to a smile, or maybe get rid of those eyebrows that, like, literally make me think he's going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, one of those things might work.
So, Berlo, the last two, one I think is absolutely horrible, and one I actually love. I love.
Okay. I'm going to look at both of them before you talk. Let me see here. Okay, I got that one. where's number 11? Okay, I think I know which is which.
Okay. So, the Thunder had... the Golden State Warriors had Thunder... He's horrific. He looks like he's horrific. He has terrible arms, the worst Warriors jersey, those like early 2000s Warriors, where every jersey in every sport was terrible. It's so funny how like everything went back no matter what. Like in all the major sports, all the throwback ones and the originals are always better. But he's got the worst one on. He's wearing basically pantyhose on his head with swimming goggles, it kind of looks like. His arms are misshapen. He's I don't know what he's got on his head. It kind of looks like a glove.
Yeah, I think that's what he's trying for. It kind of reminds me of like the superhero movies, the origin movies where the hero doesn't get the cool costume that we all know of at first. They're all like they don't know how to make a costume, so that's what they come out looking like.
Right.
That's exactly what this guy looks like, and there's nothing about this that's marketable, desirable. Want to go say, "Hey, it's Thunder."
Yeah.
Hey, Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Berlo, the last one, I absolutely love. I love. I think it's so weird and kind of unique. I can see people getting behind him, and this kind of ties into our episode today. Now, he's not the San Diego Chicken. Let's throw that out there. He's not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he's this swinging friar. So he's basically a monk with just a goofy face on. It's so unique that I kind of love it.
He looks like a Disney character.
Yes.
He looks like a cousin of one of the seven dwarfs.
Yes.
He looks cute.
He's like, awesome.
Like, I would totally, if I had a beard and I saw him, I'm like, Friar, get your rear end over here. Get a picture of me, the Friar.
I totally disagree with the article. I think the Friar is pretty cool. The fact that he's a monk is kind of unique. It's a different take on things. It's not some weird animal. He's a big, goofy monk with the monk hairdo and kind of like drunky kind of face. He looks awesome.
Yeah, I guess they're playing on the Padre thing with like religious people and stuff like that. And it absolutely works. I mean, I would like that guy is like clapping his hands. I'm clapping along with him. And I'm like, yeah, go Padre. I feel he's got a good dance routine, too. Just something about his face where I'm like, he's got some like wacky hijinks in him. I would absolutely adore him.
All right.
If we could trade hip hop the money for the Friar, then we would have the trilogy of Philly mascots.
Philadelphia of swinging Friar? That'd be awesome.
Just be quiet. You weren't here last week. You don't know what we were dealing with, okay?
All right, so who's the worst for you? Me, it's pretty clear.
It's got to be the Warriors one. Yeah, it looks so tacky. It looks... So I made this costume in 5 minutes. It's not even really a character. You're literally saying it's just a guy dressed up.
Yeah.
It's just atrocious in every way. And The only thing that make me happier is while they were having the dynasty, like Steph Curry and Durant were looking at each other like, oh God, Thunder's coming over here.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
God, we got to share a bus with Thunder.
To me, it's the crazy crab. The Giants crazy crab is pretty.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good choice too. I mean,
horrific.
I see both sides of it. I mean, Thunder is the so bad you look unprofessional, and the crazy crab is so bad you question who was the professional who made that.
At least Thunder looks like maybe he could do some crazy athletic dunks or something at a basketball game, like off a trampoline. Crazy crab ain't doing anything. In fact, it might be Andy Reid under that outfit.
He's like, I got my Super Bowl. I'll do whatever I want.
Yeah. And I got to go best for me out of those. I didn't mind Yuppie. And I got to say, I like the swinging Fryer, man. I'm okay with him.
I'm for the Fryer. I'm going to honorable mention Miles from the Denver Broncos. I could get behind that guy.
All right, well, they're no San Diego Chicken, but not all of them were as bad as the article. Now, Sir Saint is pretty terrible too.
That's pretty bad up there. That's like the Mount Rushmore of bad mascots right there.
It would have been a good topic for tonight, but So, Brilla, what do you got?
Scott, well, I mean, this last weekend we had International Women's Day. I know you celebrated. You put up a lovely picture of your wife and your mother.
Yes.
And
it was very beautiful. Did you know which one was which?
I think I recall what Alex looked like.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, is that why you cropped out your dad? And all? It's just like you don't want him to get, hey, why are you next to my wife?
Yeah. Right. The competition in the family. Hey! It's tough, you know.
But, and my lovely wife, Isabel, and our friend, Jill, they just did a huge practice run getting ready for a marathon. They went 22 and a third miles.
That's awesome.
This past weekend. I did 17 and a half. They're just on a side note, there's slight rumblings. Might try full one, Scotty.
I know you're going to. I mean, your wife is going to do it. So I just think just being around it, you're going to do it.
It's probably eventually going to happen, and it's probably going to happen in a place in Orlando, but I
don't know. Oh, God, Burlow. Just blow up the Mickey bomb or whatever we said before. Jesus.
But Scott, as amazing as a lot of women are, sometimes some women aren't so amazing. So I'm bringing back one of our favorite games, Scotty. Don't blame everything on Florida. Women's edition, Scotty.
Oh, Florida.
Yep. I have six news stories right here, Scott. Two of them were not from Florida.
Okay, so Scotty, just four Florida, two not. Got it.
Yeah. So we're going to go through a couple of these, and you'll have to pick out which ones we can say is from our southern neighbors.
Your southern neighbors.
Yeah, whatever. We're all neighbors at heart. Women denied Outback Steakhouse attacks parents, threatens to kill them. Deanne Seltzer was arrested last week after she allegedly attacked her parents and chased her father with a 12-inch knife for refusing to take her to Outback Steakhouse. According to reports, a 28-year-old asked her parents to take her to dinner at the popular restaurant chain on Wednesday. When they refused, Seltzer flew into a rage and flipped over the glass dining room table before punching her mother with closed fists on her chest and arms. Seltzer's father intervened and sustained scratches to his face and upper body. Seltzer then picked up a foot-long decorative knife and began to chase her father around the house, threatening, "I'm going to kill you," the outlet reported. Her father eventually able to wrestle the knife away without sustaining further injuries.
My initial thought is this is tough because I could see this just being a bratty, crazy child. Do I guess Florida or not Florida now or at the end?
We can do it at the end.
Okay.
I mean, I'm more amused they have a decorative knife. I didn't know that was a big thing around.
Oh, like you don't have one. Let's stop.
Man says his takeout food came with soiled underpants. An Uber Eats customer was expecting his delivery of Japanese food this weekend, and he did get it, but he got a whole little extra something in the bag as well.
Yes.
Leo, who wanted to be identified by his first name only, is beside himself after he received a pair of soiled underwear with his takeout order.
Did he get an order of Moo Moo Guy pants? I'm here all night.
That's why you're the host.
Did he get a poo-poo platter?
Oh,
God.
Oh, you did it. Oh. Disgusting, unhealthy. It's potentially deadly, Leo said. What do you do if you find this in your food? Leo ordered just before 10 p.m. from a nearby Japanese restaurant through Uber Eats app. When it arrived, he walked out of his hotel to meet the delivery woman. I grabbed the food, and right when I got the food, she took off running, and I was like, that was kind of odd. Brushing it off, he walked up to his hotel room and opened a plastic bag. In it, he saw his food in a brown paper bag and something else. I thought this when I was pulling out. This sure is a fancy napkin, but it wasn't a napkin at all. It was a pair of thigh-length underwear stained with looks like human feces.
Lovely. All right, I think I have an idea on that one.
All right. Stolen Grimsey donkey found. Woman arrested. Royal Major League has been found and returned to his owners in good health, says police. Stolen purebred donkey, Royal Major League has been found. Oh, he repeated that line for some reason. The four-year-old mammoth Jack Stock donkey that went missing from a barn in Grimsey in August was found on Monday and returned to its owner in good health, said police. Police believe the donkey, known for his massive legs and especially long ears, was being used for breeding.
Weird description in the article.
Yeah, I threw that in myself, Scott. I thought it was important. A 55-year-old woman has been arrested and will appear in court on March 6th. The woman has been charged with theft of over $5,000 and possession of property obtained by crime over $5,000. They repeat lines in this article a lot.
Okay. All right. I think I have an idea on that one.
All right. How about naked, toothless woman huffing propane threatens to blow up police? Cops saying.
Florida.
Police found her naked and sucking on a propane tank in her garage. They arrived at the woman's house after her mother, Janice, called for help. Police saw Sarah Jo Longacre in the garage with... Yes, that's her name, Longacre, in the garage with the lights off and doors closed. The 45-year-old woman had been huffing propane from the tank, police said. She lit a lighter near the nozzle of the tank and told the cops to get out.
Nice.
And brought her mother off the property for safety. Police said she lit the lighter again, but they kicked the empty tank away. With the situation secure, police called the paramedics. While they were on their way, the 5 foot, 300-pound woman announced she drank 2 liters of alcohol. Oof, as an FYI,
5 foot, 300 pounds.
Oof. Yes, a traditional handle of liquor holds 1.75 liters. Police said she also called 911 six times. Getting Longacre to the hospital took several emergency workers. She kicked and bit, police said, but it didn't hurt because she had no teeth. Longacre has. You love this, though, regardless where it's at.
Yeah, Longacre, I don't care where this is.
Longacre was hospitalized and arrested and charged with threatening to discharge a destructive device, resisting an officer with violence, and misusing 911. She was booked on Thursday and held on $17,000 bail.
Now, if you're just, like, hanging out at your home, are you allowed to just huff propane? Like, is that okay? Like,
I mean, legally, I don't think... It's illegal, and the reason I say, I mean, that's with any kind of inhalants. I mean, I jokingly said if I was going to get into drugs, I would get inhalants because technically you're not doing anything illegal. I mean, airplane glue, rubber cement, that's all legal. Propane's legal as long as you don't try to light it and blow up your family and police.
I can't wait till next week. You're like, so I tried it, and I can't stop. You just like lift up a propane tank. What else you got, Scott?
Berlu, is that the police? Ah, it's all right, Scotty. I got him by under. Get back. I didn't remove all my teeth.
When in Georgia. All right.
Woman allegedly zipped boyfriend in suitcase, leaving him to die.
Nice.
A woman was arrested Tuesday after allegedly zipping her boyfriend in a suitcase and leaving him to die, all while taunting him on video. Sarah Boone, 42, told detectives she was playing a game of hide-and-seek with her partner, Jorge Torres Jr., on Monday while drinking alcohol. She said they agreed it would be funny if Torres hopped in a blue suitcase in her home. But she claimed to have forgotten all about the human cargo, falling asleep in her bed for hours before realizing Torres was still inside, according to the report. Boone said she woke up to her cell phone ringing and went to go check on Torres, also 42, only to find him unresponsive and not breathing. Nice. She called 911 that afternoon. Police responded to find Torres dead. Cops said there was a small cut on Torres' lip and bruising around his eye, and then they retrieved two videos from Boone's phone in which he teases Torres as he's trapped in the suitcase. Boone can be heard laughing on the video as Torres calls out her name and says he can't breathe. Yeah, that's what you do when you choke me, Boone said in one of the videos.
Yeesh. That's a terrible way to go, man.
But
also, like, I don't know, if like your wife said to you, like, Berlou, like, Mike, get into this box and let me zipper it up. It would be really funny. I don't know if I would go along with that.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be red flags right there. And if I do it, I'm going to at least know I have a way out if she's trying to be a smart rare.
Yeah, you know, if she's trying to kill you.
Yeah. Oh, you naughty little girl, you.
Yeah.
Oh, Izzy. She heard I was going to bring a bomb to Disney, and she got me. No, you can't get out of Disney. No, suffocate me.
You're my luggage now.
And finally, Scott, former mayoral candidate accused of drugging new mom with cupcake trying to steal baby.
Nice.
A woman who unsuccessfully ran for mayor in 2019 has been accused of trying to kidnap a 3-week-old baby.
Jeez.
The 38-year-old, according to authorities, went by several aliases, was released on $50,000 bond, and is expected to be arraigned Tuesday. Now, before I continued, wasn't Cecil Ince a couple names when we interviewed him?
Yes. Cecil Ince was a Republican candidate, I believe.
Libertarian.
Oh, Libertarian, yes.
Just like Barbara Jo Wehmeyer.
Oh, how could I forget?
Absolutely. Juliette Parker and her teenage daughter are suspected of posing as photographers and drugging a new mother to steal her infant. Since her arrest, authorities say more than 10 people say Parker came to their homes to take photos. Investigators believe she was searching for the baby she wanted to steal. Authorities say Parker used social media to lure in unsuspecting moms, offering free maternity and newborn photos. She said she wanted to build her portfolio, but detectives allege her real motive was much more sinister. She wanted a girl, said Ed Torres of the Sheriff's Department. She wanted them 5 weeks and younger, so she could raise it herself, take it out of state, and pretend it was a newborn of her own.
Nice.
A mom answered the post, inviting Parker into her home 3 times. Police said the woman spotted Parker taking selfies with the baby and wiping down her fingerprints from items she touched inside the home. During the 3rd visit, authorities said Parker and her 16-year-old daughter gave the woman a cupcake. The mom suddenly began vomiting and feeling numb and drowsy. Right. She ordered the two to leave and called 911, only to realize her house keys were stolen. Basically, she was drugged, said Troyer. They put drugs in a cupcake. She ate it, and they attempted to take her kid. Parker and her daughter were arrested at their home about 40 miles south of the residence.
Lovely.
So what are your first thoughts going into this, Scott? Pretty easy?
No, this is never easy because every single one of these could be Florida. So this is never easy. Plus six is there's a lot to digest there.
Mm-hmm.
Berlou, the first story was what? Go ahead.
First story was woman attacks parents with knife for not taking her to Outback Steakhouse.
Okay, I'm going to go with my gut here, and I could very easily be wrong, but I'm going to say this is not Florida. It could be anywhere. I feel like that story could happen anywhere. It doesn't have that Florida stench to it. So I'm going to go with not Florida.
Scotty, that was Palm Beach, Florida. I'm sorry.
Oh for one. All right.
Man says his takeout food came with spoiled underwear.
I mean, just by process of elimination, and I feel, by the way, Moo Moo Guy Pants. That's the best line I've ever
that's
came
classic.
Up. That's the best thing I've ever said. I'm going to go with Florida.
Scotty, that was Florida.
All right. Back on the wagon here. One for two. All right.
Stolen Grimsy donkey found, woman arrested.
I'm going to save this one. I'm going to go to the next one.
Okay. This is going to be a tough one, Scotty. Naked, toothless woman huffing propane threatens to blow up police.
I mean, by far the best story of the bunch. 5 foot, 300 pounds. I mean, there's so much Florida in there. You could be trying to throw me off, or this just could be Florida. This is it. This is Florida. We're waving the Florida flag here. So I'm just going to go, this is Florida.
Scott, we have a new flag of Florida, and that's that lovely lady with no teeth, naked.
Huffing propane. Huffing protein. All right. Two for three.
All right. Woman allegedly zipped boyfriend in suitcase, leaving him to die.
Well, I got the one non-Florida one wrong.
Yes. So let's just say what the three remaining are, because two of them are non-Florida.
Yep.
So that's the donkey, that's the zipping boyfriend in suitcase, and that was the former mayor accused of drugging a new mom with a cupcake.
Okay, I'm going to go the former mayor is Florida.
Colorado Springs, Scotty.
So the donkey is definitely Florida, huh?
Donkey was Canada.
Oh, so donkey was not Florida, right?
Donkey was not Florida.
Oh, yeah, that was my other one. That was my non-Florida.
Woman allegedly zipped boyfriend up. That was Florida, my friend.
So I had the donkey as my not Florida one because I thought it had too much Florida in it. And I knew you would give me one that was so Florida that it would throw me off. It was between the propane lady and the donkey. And I figured they both couldn't be from Florida in 1 week. So so I got it wrong. But all right. So I don't succeed. I got one of the stories right. But
yeah, well, hopefully, Scott, I mean, I'm going to cross my fingers. I'm going to be able to find more Florida stories so we can play this game again sometime. I can't guarantee it, but, you know, we can dream.
Odds are that you'll have five by the end of this podcast, which is ending right now. So
I just get news alerts. People look at my phone like, Burley, what the hell are you keeping an eye out for?
So I think we'll wrap it on that. So Burlo, anything to promote?
Yeah, I'm going to promote one of our former guests, Christian Picciolini. He's currently on tour with his new book, Breaking Hate: Confronting the New Culture of Extremism. We had him, I would say, probably about 2 years ago on the show.
At least,
fascinating story about how he was a former white supremacist who turned his life around. Now he helps kids and trying to get them out of these groups. He's been on CNN. He's had various shows on CNN specials and get interviewed. He was great on our show. Definitely highly recommend his book. Again, it's called Breaking Hate: Confronting the New Culture of Extremism. Check it out anywhere where you buy your boobs books.
Buy your boobs.
Go to the strip club and say, give me that book by Christian Picciolini.
It's really interesting. Like, you go to the plastic surgeon, they just have all these hate books, you know, like recovering from hate. You're like, it's an interesting combo. You know, strip club, you buy your boobs, you get a hate book.
Exactly. Before Christian Picciolini, everybody.
I'll promote an old guest here. She was one of our favorites, and she's got a new song out. She's been posting a lot of stuff lately, but she's got I'm Gonna Be. I guess she 500 Miles. That is our friend Lucy Spraggan. Cool musician. Was a really fun interview. Had a really cool backstory, and really it's kind of inspiring with some of the stuff she did. So go check her out, Lucy Spraggan. That's Spraggan. So,
she just did a half marathon herself.
I did. I know. I saw that. I was thinking about about you running, folk. If my ankle ever heals, maybe I'll be able to join you. But we're going for another MRI on Wednesday. So
it's,
7 months been dealing with this. 7 months. So
I mean that's our cliffhanger for next week's episode.
Ankle update. But yeah, we got a bunch of stuff for you guys coming up in the next few weeks. A lot of cool guests, but we'll save that for those episodes. What you guys could do for us is follow us on Instagram, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You're smart. You can Google Verbal Shenanigans. And leave an iTunes review. Share this with your friends. Say, hey, this podcast is awesome. It's the San Diego Chicken, bro. Check it out. Remember what happened to him? So that's the best you can do. And follow some of our supporters like Denville Radio and BS Podcast Network and ComingRightUp.org and Discovery County Network. They put our content up on their networks and platforms. So go support them, too. And that's it, guys. Life is funny. Laugh at it. And keep the wind at your back.
Bye, ladies.
In blue.